Blog Talk Radio.
There's nothing more important to a democracy than a well-informed electorate.
John F. Kennedy said, "Let us not seek the Republican answer or the Democratic answer, but the right answer."
Welcome to The Right Answer.
We're men among men and manly men, yes, manly men are we. We're men among manly men, among manly men are we. We'll sail up north and cross the ice and cross the barren snow fields. You gotta be tough and you gotta be a man to club the baby harp seal. To club the baby harp seal. We're men among men and manly men, yes, manly men are we. We're men among manly men, among manly men are we. We'll drive out west on a buffalo hunt in a venture bold and daring. We'll shoot one again and again and again while the others stand there staring. While the others stand there staring. We're men among men and manly men, yes, manly men are we. We're men among manly men, among manly men are we. And a man's gotta do what a man's gotta do when a man is a man among men. Yes, a man among men's gotta do what a man's gotta do as a man among men. We're men among men and manly men, yes, manly men are we. We're men among manly men, among manly men are we.
I love the line about clubbing the baby harp seal. That is a manly man. Hey, welcome to the Right Answer Podcast. We're live right here on Blog Talk Radio. It is Thursday, May 20th, 2021 at our special time, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm Derek. Zach's across the table. Jacob's in Texas. You get the opportunity to sit around this table with us and listen to what it sounds like when a family of manly men sit and talk. We're talking about manly men today, among other things, but manly men. Jake, how are you doing today?
Good. I feel like that song went on like 10 seconds too long.
I know. It was. And I even cut it.
You even cut it? Oh, makes me feel bad. I do like the little pan flute that starts to play in the background right at the very end.
There's a rift in the middle. Yeah. That is just the pan flute, and I cut it. Yeah, I thought that too, but then I thought, I got to have clubbing the baby harp seal. There was one line about just shooting somebody and then standing there over the – I thought, okay, I got to take that out. I got to take all that out. So, that's my manly – there was a number of manly men songs that you could go with. And I went with that one simply because, and Zach had said this to begin with, we could have gone with the one from
Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, that's. I don't know if there's a full song with that, but that's
I don't know either. We are the Right Answer Podcast. Thanks for listening to us today. Oh man, I'm going to get the hiccups here for a second. I drank too much water. I took a huge gulp of cold water. Here it comes. There we go. Hey, yes. So today we are talking about, and we're going to talk about manly men and where manly men, what they watch, where they get their information. What do manly men look at on the internet and YouTube and on the TV? And first and foremost, Jake, I want to tell you this is kind of how it started. And I've kind of told you, but I'll tell the listening audience. I was listening to a micro podcast, and maybe micro is a good example of a manly man with a voice. I'm not sure, but we'll talk about it in a minute. So I'm listening to a micro podcast. For those of you who've never listened to The Way I Heard It, he reads a chapter of his book and then reads a little bit after that. He has what's called grout. It's a story about one of his Way I Heard It. And this was about John Wayne and how John Wayne was a manly man. And how he had cancer, but he you know, let anybody know it and just said, hey, it's cancer, big deal, go on. And then, of course, later died from cancer. But what it meant to be a manly man, and he was talking to Sig Hansen. That was his guest. Sig Hansen, for those of you who don't know, if you've ever watched Deadliest Catch, then you know who Sig Hansen is. He's one of the captains. He is the captain of the Northwestern, and was talking about what it meant to be a manly man. And can you be a manly man in today's society? In the culture today, are you allowed to be a manly man? And so there was a discussion about what that was. So I'm going to start out with you, Jake, and then I'm going to go to Zach. Give me a few adjectives of a manly man.
Yeah,
to you.
So the kind of idea is that it's going to be different for everybody. I think in terms of, you know, qualities that, you know, a man can show that are adjective, I guess, you know, I think one of the first ones is maybe, I've been thinking about this all week, I think one of the first ones is useful, or at least attempts to be useful.
Oh, that's a good one. So what, what does that mean then?
Drive that man, that a lot of men want in life, even if they haven't named it, to be useful, right?
Yeah, that's to be useful, productive. And I think obviously we always do this. We did this 2 weeks ago when we did White Privilege. We always do this. This is three white guys sitting around a table talking about what it means to be a manly man. And we have no women at this table. We have no women to let us know what. And is it true or not true, do you think, that the only one who's allowed to give the definition of a manly man is a woman?
No. Maybe they have the best. Maybe not the best.
Or is that the only one that counts?
Maybe they have a good insight on it that's outside of our own perspective.
Okay, so useful. Zach, what's a manly man?
That's the first thing I think of.
What's a manly man?
A godly man.
A godly man.
Like
a manly man is a godly man. If you have an idea of what a manly man is, give us a call, 845-241-9923, or shoot us an email at therightanswerpodcast@gmail.com, or you can come in and go in the chat room. I don't know if Jake's in there. We can see if anybody's in the chat room. What is a manly man, a godly man, a useful man? I think for me, it really depends on, I was thinking about this whole idea. And of course, I've got Mike Rowe's conversation in my head, this whole idea. But I think mine kind of falls in between. I get like an honorable man, an honorable, useful, godly man. I mean, that's our definition of a manly man. I want to go back to the show that you were talking about with men.
Two and a half men.
Two and a half men. Those were two totally opposite men.
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally, different people, you know.
Yeah, and it really, and I think it's different. Now let me change it a little bit, because we always talk about here on the Right Answer podcast where you form opinions and what helps to form your opinion. We talk about Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and now TikTok and all of the things that you watch, everything that you can stream, whether it be Netflix or Peacock or Discovery or ESPN or whatever these streams, it forms your opinion. So my question then is, if you were to ask a Hollywood director, give me a manly man. Give me an actor. We've got a list that we're going to talk about later, but just give me an actor of that Hollywood, that people on YouTube, that the viewing audience would say, yep, that's a manly man.
I always go to my...
You always go to the same. I know who you're going to say. You're going to say The Rock.
Dwayne The Rock.
Oh, dang it. That's what I was going to say.
Oh, you're going to say The Rock, too.
I was going to say The Rock.
Why? Is it because he's so built?
Oh, I mean, I just, you know, I grew up watching him on WWE, and you know, he's got fantastic movies.
Escape from Witch Mountain.
I didn't watch that one, but I
One that you did talk about was,
hey, he's manly in the Tooth Fairy.
He was. He is manly. You talk about, yeah. Yeah. What about you, Jake? You're going to say The Rock?
No, I was going to say The Rock. Now I'm trying to think of something. Idris Elba.
Oh.
I didn't know that
Elba.
Is. Yeah, you do. You know who Idris Elba is.
You show me a picture, maybe.
Okay.
Wait, is this, you know, who our man crushes are? Or cause
just who you think Hollywood says a manly man.
I think
man
every
is.
Guy has a man crush on The Rock. So I think that
Vin Diesel, though.
Vin Diesel? He ruined it when he was Groot for me. I thought that was so... That, why? Why? That's all he says. I am Groot.
Oh,
that's great. Doesn't even sound like him.
That's the character.
That's okay, but why spend all that money on Vin Diesel?
Oh, to say that you could. To say that. Did you know that that's...
Come on. That was a waste.
For the name.
I think that part of that conversation, I know we're going to get to it too, but... You know, I want to get your opinion, your guys' opinion on it is, you know, it came from Sig Hansen talking about, you know, can, you know, quote unquote, can men be men nowadays? I guess, what is that? How does that hit your ear? What do you think about that quote? And I feel like that's a conversation that gets forth quite a bit by certain types of folks and by folks with certain experiences, in not in a bad way or anything. It's just that's a thing, that's a sentence that gets said, and I'm still thinking about it. So how do you think about
it?
I don't think so.
I think when we talk about things that influence us, whether it be Hollywood movies, whether it be, you know, Facebook or whatever, mostly movies now, of course, streaming and everything, I think deep down inside, maybe if you go back 15, 20 years, if you're talking about John Wayne, I think that the manly man of the Hollywood icon, I think was a womanizer and can't be that today.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about the John Wayne and the swoo, you know, you swoo, is that a word?
Yeah. Woo.
You woo, not swoo, you woo it.
It's
the wooer, sway, and woo. Mix it together, it's swoo.
I know what you mean.
But yeah, I don't think that can be that person. I don't think that you can have that. I don't think that one fits into this culture now.
Well,
yeah.
I would ever think that as a manly man is the ability to sway a woman.
Well,
yeah.
I'm saying it used to be. That was sure. The thing. The John Waynes, the whoever, John Wayne, it wasn't Clint Eastwood. He was just kind of a rough and tough guy. Now I think when we talk about this culture today, I think strength and who can beat up who. I mean, that's what really...
Are you referring to movies? Is that really...
I'm referring to what culture is defining a manly man as. Hollywood culture. If you talk about a leading man in an action film,
yeah,
they don't get beat up. They beat up people. And it's very much the Marvel characters.
Well,
it's the superhero.
In action films, yeah.
Yeah, in action films.
There's a lot of
yeah, and that,
of
that
films,
brings
though.
Me to why I... said what I said about usefulness, because I think about all of the main, you know, dude characters that I like, and they can do something really cool, right? Or multiple things that are really cool. I mean, you think about superheroes or whatever, but you even think about way back, even with MacGyver, right? Like he had
these
abilities that he could do something. So in that sense, you know, thinking about, man, that guy is useful to these situations. He brings something to these situations, right? He brings his own strength, his own ability to help, right? And so that's kind of what I think of.
One of the things that Sig Hansen was talking about with Mike Rowe is that he sat down and as he gets older in age, he just cries at everything. They sit down and watch The Notebook. And my thing was like, wait a sec, can a manly man watch The Notebook? And Sig Hansen's just bawling his eyes out, and his wife's sitting beside him going, what's the matter with you? He's like, but look, this is, have you ever seen, Zach, you've probably never seen The Notebook. Have you seen The Notebook?
I have not seen The Notebook.
It's a real tearjerker, man. It's really sad.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey,
it's sad. Nicholas Sparks, man.
You resonate with
some,
that type of thing. Daddy.
Some the Disney shows. I tear up a little bit to the Disney movies.
Moana can't find her way home. Or is it Mulana? I can't find any words today.
Yeah, but do you resonate with that data just as you get older and in different stages of
absolutely.
Life?
Absolutely. You're sitting there thinking, can I be a manly man and still cry at The Notebook? And I don't know. I'm not sure if you can do that. But yeah, I think there's a difference when you talk about the culture today, and I want to bring this up because it isn't new, but it's something that's newer, and I've been reading about it, and it just ticks me off. I'm fit to be tied on this. Was this whole idea about, you talk about characteristics of the manly man, and one of them for me is always, you're polite, you have manners, you respect women, those types of things. And here I come to find out, I'm reading on Facebook and I'm reading online, and I started reading on, it is no longer apropos and is offensive to some that I hold a door open for a woman.
I've heard it, but I never believed how serious.
It's big on the internet. It's big.
I'd be shocked if that was a majority viewpoint.
I hope it isn't.
Yeah, I agree with Zach on that point too. Like I understand that idea, but I think it's moved more into this idea of, it's not because I'm a man and you're a woman that I do this. It's because I'm a person that's trying to respect you and open the door.
I hold the door open for men.
I hold the door open for men. But as we've learned, and we talk about on this podcast all the time, it doesn't matter whether it's a widely held belief or not. It's the loudest belief online. And so, you know, I read it and I was like, okay, I can't do that am I offending some woman by holding the door open for
and
her?
And again, I would say that, you know, we talk about what's on our feeds and who's on our feeds and the outrage machine, right? And
I've got a lot of outrage machines on my feed that are just...
Maybe. No, I'm not saying they're not on, you know, there's not stuff on my social media either, but to think about, okay, you know, what is the purpose of me being given this information? Is it to rile me up, or, you know, is it going to rile me up, or is it going, you know, to, you know, inform my decision in some way? And I don't know, you know, it might, you know.
Is Amanda around? Is she close? Yell to her and ask her if she's offended by a man holding a door open to her.
I know
her.
She's not.
She's not offended. Okay. All right. I read it and it was just another one of those things that, so is the manly man then starting, has he changed from, I mean, is our culture changing the manly man?
I mean, you're probably in a better position to answer that first. That of just, you know, what have you seen in regards to that? You know, what have your years brought? And you don't have that many years. I'm not saying that.
No, I think it absolutely has. I think, and this gets into the question of, I think men are more, what's the best word? More cognizant, afraid, mindful of what they how they behave and what means to be a manly man than it used to be. You know, this, I think with the different movements that we have today, whether it be, you know, feminist movements or Me Too movements, or the recognition that, okay, the way that a man used to behave isn't appropriate anymore, isn't going to be just overlooked anymore.
Yeah, I think another way of saying that too is the idea of it wasn't appropriate then either.
No, I'm not saying it was appropriate then. I'm not saying that it was okay back then, that women were just like, okay, that's a manly man and he can do that. I'm just saying that you get pegged for it now. I mean, you're being held accountable.
One might say.
Okay, you're being held accountable.
I think that's a good thing.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that's the way that the climate has changed. In some areas, some people get away with it and some people don't. Saturday Night Live gets away with it and some comedians don't. And that's a whole nother podcast, man. it sickens me what Saturday Night Live gets away with.
I love Saturday Night
Live. I know, everybody does.
What do you say to somebody who said, you know, another man in your exact same position, but who comes up and says, you know, hey, I don't like that. You know, what, this isn't okay. I can't do these things anymore. You know, a man can't be what he used to be. I guess, what do you say to that perspective of, hey, this change is something that is not good for me, right?
Like what?
So to somebody, you know, who will come up and say the idea of people, you know, people are too easily offended by this. I just did X, Y, and Z, and now that's not okay, you know? And so instead of saying, okay, this is how a man is being perceived, and these are the things that, you know, I can be held accountable with, and agreeing with that and saying, yes, I will be held accountable with, and saying, no, I shouldn't be held accountable with for that. You know, what do you say
for example is holding the door to say, okay, I can't hold the door open for somebody, or back in the 50s and 60s, patting the waitress's butt. You know, how you doing today, sweetheart? And then boom on the butt. I mean, for a person to say,
why can't I do that anymore?
Yeah. What are you so offended about? That's a compliment.
Right.
You know, that
you
type of thing.
Like that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, like boundaries are, you know, boundaries, you know, I think those need to be, you know, respected. And, you know, I think that's kind of a more obvious thing, but you know, if a woman was ever get upset that I held a door for her, then, you know, I would just say, well, I don't want to know you anymore. You know, if that's how you really feel about me holding a door for you, then, you know, you're not someone who I want to hang around. I would never change what I do. You know, if someone is really offended of showing a kind gesture that, you know, wasn't, you know, pervasive or, you know, anything like that, then, well, that's that person's loss. And if that's how they're going to go around the world thinking, then, you know, go marry a jerk somewhere then who's going to treat you like trash.
You know, there's a saying, and it used to work, and it doesn't anymore. You know, somebody would always say, you know, it's kind of like porn in the idea of, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. And I don't think that works. I think if you're looking at those, if you're looking at the dichotomy of, you know, hitting a woman on the butt, which obviously you look at it and say, that's totally inappropriate. That's easy to look at. I know that. Sure. I see it. And looking at it and saying, if a woman were to just unload on me let's say I came across this small number that one in a thousand or whatever. I hold the door open for a woman, and she just unleashes on me of how sexist and arrogant, and do you not think I can open my own door? That whatever it is, the problem is with that. I think there would be I would have a hard time seeing, like Zach said, I would have a hard time saying, wow, I didn't mean to offend you by opening the door. Okay, I won't hold it open. I would just be like, I don't know. I would have a problem. I would have a hard time with that. I understand the whole idea of, hey, you just did something to offend me. But I'm not, like Zach said, I don't think I'm going to be mindful of that the next time. I'm not going to say, you know, I need to think about, I'm not going to question and query people as they come in, excuse me, does it offend you if I open, I'm just going to open the door for it. And if you're offended on this one, then you're just offended.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how you do that. That's my whole definition of, I see that one, but I can't recognize it. I don't know. I don't know what you do with little things like that. And of course, yeah, can you do that though? I mean, you can't go through your whole life just questioning whether every action you have is going to offend somebody by, can you?
That's kind of not what I was referring to. The idea of another man
that's where we went.
Okay, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure. Sure, that's where we went, but you know, I guess
I don't know.
As men, you know, with other men in our lives who,
what do you say to them? Here's why I went that way. There's a different response of what I say to a man who says, I just can't pat a woman on the butt anymore. What's the problem? Everybody's offended, to whether somebody, another man comes up to me and says, I got chewed out for holding the door open. I think my response to that man is different in each circumstance by saying, dude, it wasn't just because they did it 20 years, 30, 40, 50 years ago and you got away with it doesn't mean that it was right. You can't go around patting people on the butt.
If someone did that to my daughter, they'd.
I think that's totally fair. And I like this. I mean, I don't know anything else because, you know, the generation that I grew up in, and it's still changing, but the idea of accountability, you know, basic accountability for our actions, right?
Sure. Like, yeah. Yeah.
And to actually be open to that, because for a long time, men weren't held accountable for our actions.
Exactly.
And how they affected other people.
No, that's exactly right. But I do have a feeling that the person who says to you, I can't pat a woman on the butt, the waitress on the butt anymore because I get in trouble, is either going to be so old and set in their ways that it doesn't matter anyway. I mean, this is an old crusty dude probably that's probably like 75 years old. And you can say, you know, grandpa, you can't do that anymore.
Or there's just a jerk.
Or they're just a jerk and they're not going to change. But there is that idea. And here's what I want to throw out. Because of today's culture, because of the, and I'm not saying that this is a blame. I'm saying this because of the culture that we're in with the Me Too movement and the close scrutiny of actions that are wrong, that are no longer tolerated, that were wrong to begin with, but were done anyway, because that was, you know, if you want to go with man privilege, the idea that society just said that, you know, women hated it before, but men did it. I'm wondering if men are more cautious today about being a manly man. Because I'm wondering is, do women even like those kind of men anymore? I don't care. I've been married for 32 years. I don't have to impress anybody. I mean, it's not like I'm going out and looking and saying, hey, I need to find out what kind of man a woman likes. I don't, but I'm just wondering, you know, your generation, Jake, There's a lot of unmarried people there and trying to find out on Match.com or whatever, what
sure.
do women like? And are they saying men, women don't like manly men anymore?
No, I think maybe the better question is, you know, it always comes down to what does that mean? And that's why
sure.
we started to go. But I think the better question is, you know, how do we define our masculinity and being a man outside of the scope of how we interact with women? Because if that's the only thing that we choose to define it as, I think we're always going to have a difficult time with it, right? So, you know.
Here's a good example. A good example is of the kind of soft, when you see it, you know it, and but that's the character. Think of Dwight Schrute on The Office and the way that he looks at women. You know, a good example would be a clip, you know, a clip of when Pam is sad that Jim is dating what's her name?
Roy, or when Jim is dating Karen.
Karen, and she's crying, and Dwight sits down beside her and puts his coat on her. And you think that he's going to be this sensitive guy. And in this real soft voice, he says, is it, you know, is it that time of the month right now?
Right.
I mean, that's where he goes. I don't know exactly what his line was, but, you know, that's where he goes. The whole idea of, you know, when women menstruate, the only thing they think about is getting pregnant and all the, I mean, that those are the lines that he has that gets away, and you look at it and say, oh man, Dwight. But you know that Dwight is that kind of guy. And so I think they are, I think you can put men in categories, especially of what society and media says those men are. And I think people are driven by that. I think people are convinced of what a manly man is. I'll give you some names, okay? Tell me or not whether or not Tom Cruise, manly man?
Well, I mean,
are we being are we programmed from the movies, from what we do? That's because that's all we know him by.
Yeah, I mean,
Mission Impossible.
That's like you're. I mean, I feel like that's focused on like stereotyping of, you know, what a.
Sure.
Yeah, because I mean, he can't. Because I don't know anything about him. He could be a
right
a jerk, and you know.
Absolutely, but we're driven by what we do know about. That's all we know about him.
Yeah, I
you
mean,
know.
I guess when you say that, is I'm sure his characters portray, you know,
manly men,
quote unquote manly men.
And since we don't know anything else about him. Are we driven towards that? I want to be like Tom Cruise.
I'm not.
Yeah, I want to be, but are people like that? I want to be like Tom Cruise. And the answer is obviously you don't want to be like Tom Cruise. You want to be like Ethan Hawke or
yeah.
Isn't that his name in Mission Impossible?
I think so. Something like that.
Yeah, that's who I want to be. I don't want to be Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is a jerk.
Yeah, and the thing comes full circle when we ask ourselves as men is, why do I want to be like that, right?
Because women like him.
If that's the only reason, then after you're married, do you still want to be like Ethan Hawke?
Yes. So my wife will like. I want to be. What's his name? The guy from. Well, he was in The Greatest Showman.
Jackman.
Who's
Zac Efron?
I want to be Zac Efron.
So in
because my wife loves Zac Efron.
What you're saying, Dad, is attractiveness is synonymous with manliness.
Yes. I don't know I don't know any ugly manly men. That's why I don't fit in there. Yes, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. And I bet if I pulled my wife in here and were to say, if I could be any Hollywood star, who would it be? She would say, Zac Efron. And you would say, why? Because he's gorgeous.
That's kind of inappropriate. That's kind of reaching down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what I'm saying is we're driven by that deep down inside. Don't we do that all the time? You get your one freebie or whatever it's called. You get your free pass, your free hall pass. Are you gonna?
And what I'm saying is that there's another level underneath, right? There's this level of like, who do I want to be as a person in like this world, right?
Sure,
what type
absolutely,
of
yeah.
I want to be
in. Yeah, those are two different things. But sure. I don't think. Forming the definition of a manly man, I think there are two different things. What kind of manly man do I want to be in my family, in my immediate circle, that type of thing. And then there's the idea of Zach wants to be the Rock.
I don't want to be the Rock.
Yes, you do. You're a liar. You okay? I'm gonna.
I'm gonna say. I'd be the Rock.
If you wouldn't want to be the Rock.
No.
Dude.
Like,
you're.
Like, actually be him?
Yes.
No.
For a day?
No.
You're busy.
Come on. Come on.
I would hate that lifestyle.
What?
That lifestyle sucks.
Have you, do you know? Have you tried it?
No.
I would like to try it.
I don't want anybody to know me.
I don't want anybody to know me.
That's a good point.
I think deep down inside, there is in all of us as men.
Do I wish I had his physique? Sure, that'd be cool to be that.
Okay,
way.
So now, yeah, if we could break it down.
Be that way.
Would you like to look like The Rock? You could be you, but you just look like The Rock.
I'd be down for that.
There you go. So see that deep down inside, there is that idea. So,
but hey, would you like to be in shape, Derek? Of course.
Yes, absolutely. I just want to look like Zac Efron. That's it.
But that's not being a man.
It is to my wife.
I think you need to talk to your wife.
I think that. And, of course, there is that breaking down the part that says, okay, for a day, yes. You know, whatever. But so I think there are the little categories that we have that says in media, on Facebook, look at people's searches on Facebook and see who they – we do that, don't we? I mean,
I guess maybe I'm just a weirdo, but I don't think any of that, like, I think in all aspects, you know, if kind of like what, you know, Jacob was saying, like usefulness, you know, if you are a attempting or striving to make a positive impact in your family, in the world around you, if you're attempting to, you know, make a positive impact, you're a manly man. I don't care what your skills are. I don't care what you look like, you know.
And really, and doesn't it boil down to then we just take the word manly off and you're just trying to be a man? You know, that's
right. I think you're just
that's what I'm going to write. That's what I'm going to write in Mitch's card for graduation. It's the thing. It's from the old movie, man, that says, at certain, and I think I even told you this, Jake, probably once or twice before you went to college, there's going to be certain times when you're just going to want to be a guy.
Oh, yeah.
The world's full of guys. Don't be a guy. Be a man. And right. It's a great line for that works. It says, at some point in time, it's time to be a man. And then try and figure out what, because I think that's what we're talking about. We're using the word manly to kind of bump up or make those people rise to the top. But in the end, what it is what does it mean to just be a man?
Yeah.
And what's the definition of that? And your definition that you gave is a great definition of what a man is. A person who in their family life does what's best for their family and tries hard to be useful and tries hard to be a partner to his wife or whatever. That's what we're talking about.
Common threads that tie men together. And it's not even characteristics, it's questions we ask ourselves, right? And John Eldridge puts it really nicely. There's a common thread that pretty much everyone does, but it really sits home with a lot of men, this idea of, do I have what it takes? Can I do it? Right? And I think that runs deep in a lot of our, you know, hearts and souls.
Yeah.
Is striving to say, like, do I have what it takes to do this? Do I have what it takes to become a better father, or to be more useful in this, or to, you know, try to figure out why I'm so angry all the time, or try,
right.
you know, try to be more respectful to people that I don't know. Like, do I have what it takes to do this? Right. And so,
because I think if we were being honest and we had three women sitting around here, they would agree that, yeah, maybe three times out of the month, they would like you to look like The Rock. But 27 days out of the month, they just want you to put the dishes in the dishwasher, change a diaper, you know, that type of thing. That's what it boils down to, is the idea, and people who are constantly chasing this idea of, I just want to be The Rock all the time. And I don't think that's what it is. You know, we only got about 15 minutes left, Jake, but I had asked Zach this question. This whole idea of, we had kind of talked about challenging each other, and we've done this before on the show, of going outside of your comfort zone and really saying, this is what I'm listening to. This is what I'm watching. This is what I look at when my laptop flips open. This is what I type in. These are the shows that I watch. This is what forms me into the man that I am. And this whole, and I ask him, you know, can a manly man, love Broadway shows?
Oh man, 100%.
And Zach said yes.
If
but,
they don't, then count me out, man.
But this was interesting. I'm going to let Zach answer his question, because the question was, and we've kind of boiled down this question, was if you could, as a manly man, and I don't know if it would make you feel as a manly man, but it's okay to do that. If you could learn one instrument to play that says, that's what a manly man does. I asked that, and I totally agreed with Zach, but I was shocked at his answer.
I didn't say that it'd be a manly thing to do.
I did. I think that's a manly thing.
It's my personal preference.
Yes. And so what's your personal preference?
Was the banjo.
The banjo.
Or the bagpipes.
Or the bagpipe.
Those are my top two right there.
I think the banjo is a manly instrument.
I kind of agree with the bagpipes, though. Like, I see what you're saying.
Like, if you could rock the bagpipe, you're like the coolest kid on the block.
Playing the bagpipe.
Zach just wants to read what he does. One day, for one day, I want to look like The Rock and rock the bagpipes. That is the definition of a manly man.
I feel that with the bagpipes. I totally agree, Zach.
If we were doing the whole thing on the video games that you play where you can build characters, that's what he would look like, The Rock, and he could play the bagpipes.
Second Life.
Boom, Second Life. That's exactly right. And I think that it's interesting when we talk about this whole idea of what forms us and what makes us, for good or for ill, of what we watch on our screens, what we watch on our TVs. If you were to, and I'll ask both of you, if you were to pick out one TV show, YouTube show, podcast, whatever, that helps to form you into the man you are, what would it be that you've looked at and said, I either just really like it, or I'd like to emulate that person's characteristics, whether they're real or not. In other words, a character, you know, to say that's the kind. Because when I think of that, if we are talking about a manly man, I think of Ron Swanson.
Okay.
You know, I'm not saying that that's who I would choose, what I'm saying is that's a lot of the time some men look at him and say, there you go, Ron Swanson, because they agree with his ideas or whatever. So what would it be, Jake?
The first thing I think of, well, I'll give you two.
And
so,
you can't say Jesus from the Bible.
No, I'm not going to say Jesus.
Okay.
So
that's an easy answer.
I've got a character and I've got a podcast that has shaped me. Okay. The podcast that has shaped me, or the form of media, it just happened to be a podcast, is called the Bema Podcast.
Yes, Bema.
By Marty Solomon and Brent Billings. And plug that all the way. They don't even know we exist, but that has shaped me because it's been a study through scripture, which is an important part of my life.
Uh-huh.
And
along a Jewish line.
Along,
I mean, that's kind of the twist of the podcast.
Absolutely. And so that has shaped me because that's shaped how I see the world and my faith, which shapes my actions. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming to a character that I would say that man is the man that I would like to be,
mm-hmm.
Is Jean Valjean from Les Mis.
Oh, Jean Valjean.
And see, if you don't know musicals, you don't know Jean Valjean, which is...
I do not.
And if you don't know Jean Valjean, you don't know crap.
I don't know crap then.
So Jean Valjean, musical.
Jean Valjean after The Forgiveness.
Yes,
yeah.
Because of his choice to, change his life, because of his choice to... stand up for others, because of his choice to love others, even his enemy in the face of death.
Because he was loved and forgiven.
By
a priest.
Yeah. So that, I would say Jean Valjean.
That Jean Valjean is a great one. Zach, you got anybody? Are you shaped by any, or maybe when you were younger?
I mean, I don't feel like – so, I mean, I was trying to think of just TV characters that had good character.
That you just liked. Is that I would like to be like that.
And so I wouldn't say they form me or change me.
Right.
But it's a character I enjoy.
Okay.
I guess would be on Blue Bloods. Tom.
Oh, the dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck, yes.
That's a good one too.
That's a
real good one.
He tries to be honest, and
he is that's a great.
But I don't think I would ever say anything on TV or anything has actually truly moved me or.
Yeah.
Changed
God,
me, you know,
those are two good ones.
By heart.
Those are just absolutely. I don't think I have anything that's better than that. I think both of those would be that.
Well, I know what yours is, Dad. You don't know
that?
It, but it's Aragorn.
Oh,
Ring.
Yeah, that's probably that's a good that's a good one. Or Frodo, one of the two.
Yeah, and we look at those people, and movies have a really big. Again, that's a lot of John Eldridge, who is a pastor, and
mm-hmm.
Well, he's not technically a pastor, but. He has his own podcast,
yeah.
Does his own thing, but you know he talks about that too, about the idea of how movies and TV and fictional characters awaken something in us that says I want to be like that. Why do I want to be like that? Because I recognize that there is something greater that I can attain in myself as a man.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
I mean, I don't want to be Aragorn, but I'd love to think that I have some of the characteristics of him.
Right.
Same thing with Tom Selleck from Blue Bloods. Just an awesome dad. I mean, just an awesome dad. Jean Valjean with the whole idea of just the way that he changed and reacted to life. After going through an experience. And so we talk about this whole idea of challenging each other to watch something maybe that you haven't seen before. And so obviously that's, we don't do it to make each other uncomfortable or any of that type of thing, but we do that. So, that's going to be my challenge for Zach. and I need to find it. But I'm going to make you watch Les Mis.
And I, because I haven't seen it, I will watch Blue Bloods.
Oh, you haven't seen Blue Bloods?
I've never
Tom
seen it.
Tom Selleck is that.
It's a great show.
It.
It is.
I'm going to watch a couple episodes of Blue Bloods.
Is Netflix? Is it on Netflix?
We are watching on Hulu currently.
Hulu.
Okay, yeah, Hulu.
Yeah, he is a stand-up solid, just, yes. Yeah, he's a great, great characteristics. Just great. Jake, you get to watch. So, Zach, what do you?
Yeah, but, mine's actually a good show.
It is. Les Mis. No, you have to watch Les Mis with the concentration of saying, what is it about this guy that makes Jacob admire the characteristics of him?
And it's not just because he's Hugh Jackman in the movie.
See, mine's easy if you look at it. You both have seen, Aragorn. I mean, if I were to say, Zach, I'm going to make you watch Lord of the Rings, you'd be like, that'd be great.
Rock on.
Rock on. That's awesome.
I will watch Blue Bloods and I will do it.
And Jake, is there a podcast that I need to listen to?
You've listened to the BEMA podcast.
I've listened. I know BEMA. I've listened to the BEMA podcast. But is there, are there any other ones that you're listening to that you think, okay, I'm going to need? And I would encourage anybody to. We miss those a lot. I think
we miss out on opportunities, especially just that's the idea of our show, is that we're just a family. I think that's really important. I appreciate when you do that, Dad, and when you did it growing up, of taking an interest and, hey, this is a big thing for you. This has changed you and shaped you in some way.
Yeah.
Let me at least see what it's about.
Sure.
Here's one.
Okay.
Here's one, Dad, and it has nothing to do with being a manly man.
Yeah. It's just something you're interested in.
Or anything like that. Go on and try to find a podcast called Lore.
L-O-R-E.
Lore. And
okay.
Listen to any episode.
Any episode of Lore.
Any episode of Lore. It's, about creepy kind of lore things.
Cool. Lore. Okay.
That's what I like, and that's what I listen to, because I know you've already listened to the ones that are more serious and have shaped me.
Real quick, and we want to encourage any of our listeners, if you don't listen to podcasts, it's a great thing to do in the car. We got about 7 minutes, Jake. If you could, or Zach wanted to, can you pop up for me the top 10 podcasts in America today? I'm sure Joe Rogan's on there.
Probably.
What are the top 10 podcasts as far, and I'm sure it's probably going to be like by listens, by listenership. I don't think we're in it, but it could be top 10 podcasts. And like I said, we got like 7 minutes. What are the top, and maybe, have you found any of them?
Okay.
Did you get some, Zach?
This is on time.com. Number 10 is Back Issue.
Okay. Jake, you got one?
Whatever that means.
Sorry. I don't. Keep
okay,
going.
Keep going, Zach.
It's all these different lists I'm trying to look up.
Are they just political or...
I don't know.
I don't even know what Google would say.
You must remember this, Polly Platt. I don't know any of these. Staying with Emily and
Top 10 podcasts. Here's the top 10. Here's what I come up with.
Code Switch.
Oh. The top 50 most listened to US podcasts. Okay. So I got the top 50 most listened to US podcasts last year. And number one was the Joe Rogan Experience.
Okay, well, you found it something more accurate.
Yeah.
I don't know what the heck mine was.
The Daily, Crime Junkie, This American Life, My Favorite Murder, Stuff You Should Know. I guess, this is a good one. The Office Ladies.
Office Ladies, yeah.
Office Ladies, it's because you probably never watched The Office.
Nope.
Okay, so it's two of the characters that go through and kind of do... episodes. Pod Save America, number 9. Planet Money, And number 10, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Have you heard that one?
Yeah, I have.
That's the top 10. Number one, Joe Rogan.
Is to, you know, that's kind of where we end up sitting, is just this idea of what shapes you. And for us, we talk about podcasts a lot because we like to do it and we like to listen, and
yep.
And that shapes us. And for other people, it's more movies or maybe it's, you know, more politics or whatever. But I think it's important to get to know your circle and the circle of people that you're in, your family, your friends, your loved ones. What is shaping them? And at least.
And what do they, what do they listen to? I mean, you go all the way down. Number 12 is Ben Shapiro. I see Dave Ramsey. I see Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. NPR has one. Last Podcast on the Left. This podcast was also called The Last Podcast on the Right.
Yeah.
I knew that it was too close to that. I mean, there's just all kinds. NPR has a bunch of them. 99% Invisible. The Michelle Obama podcast. The Breakfast Club. Some of those are iHeartRadio. TED Talks Daily. Those are a great thing. You know, if I were to, if you know, maybe Zach, I'll look and see. But unless I let you know, man, I'm going to tell you where you can find Les Mis. And
this will probably be the one time I don't do my own
work. Oh, man! No! No!
Try. Be like, what kind of manly man do I want
to
be?
Yeah, we're coming to the end of the show. I think it's really important to reiterate what you were saying, Jake, is that whole idea of the things that we consume that make us who we are. And
right.
we
make a difference. They change us.
Oh,
right?
they do. And so maybe taking a time, like we always say, to maybe put yourself in an uncomfortable situation and say, I'm going to go outside my comfort zone. Maybe for me, I'm not going to watch The Office and Parks and Rec and now 30 Rock every night. And maybe I'm going to go outside my comfort zone and you know, do something else. I'm going to listen to lore, and that'd be uncomfortable because I like the things that I like. And to say, maybe that puts you on a different path that you're thinking about. And that's what we're trying to do here on the show, and encourage you to do. So we're going to cut out here and get to, we got some graduation things that we have to do in our family. We have a family member who is graduating from high school. And so there are all those, end of the year things that we have to do and we have to take off. So, I'm going to encourage each one of you to do your homework, and I may have to come up with an easier one for Zach.
That's fair. That's fine.
And maybe a podcast or something like that he can do. So next week we'll be here at normal time, 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, for everybody to listen in and see what we're talking about around our family table. And maybe that'll inspire you around yours. Keep in mind what you're looking at, and keep in mind where you get your news. And I do want to say this real quick. If you're curious about our show, give us an email, therightanswerpodcast@gmail.com. You can listen to us across the social media, on Twitter. Just look for The Right Answer. All of those things, Facebook. Jake, have a good evening, and tell Amanda we love her.
Rock on, y'all.
Look at that. We hit it. 90 seconds to go. Zach, you got anything big to say?
Nope.
Look at your wife looking in the mirror or looking through the garage door. Hey, we want to wish everybody a happy night, and we will see you next week right here on The Right Answer. See ya.